Here we are, folks. Wednesday night, November 8th, I think, if I look over. November 9th. Okay, November 9th. And we are looking at an interesting thing here, going on here. We're looking at Acts chapter 15. We're looking at Peter's Great Commission. And just reading this thing slowly, there's a lot of, I'm not going to say mush, but there's a lot of transition in here. Because we're well past when Paul gets involved. You know, I mean, he's saved, and as they called it, for his time. Different than we do, but he's got his start on the road in Acts chapter 9. And we have to remind ourselves that Acts is a history book that entails, I think that's the correct word, that it entails the other books in the Testament in here somewhere. For example, we're just getting ready to be writing, he's just getting ready to be jotting down his Galatians to the Galatians people. So when we realize what's going on here in the Acts, we can see why Galatians has such Jewish, you know, flavor. And we know he's the apostle to the Gentiles. But Paul is not about to give up on his Jew brethren for quite a while. He backs off little by little by little, but he still is involved with them quite a bit. Well, you know, we know he's involved. To look at 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. You know, way at the very end of this whole thing, Peter talks about Paul. So these guys have to be together when Peter's writing 1 and 2 Peter. And yet where God puts it in the Bible is God's choice, not Peter's or Paul's. And God has his purpose because, you know, he drops in Paul in the middle of this thing. As Stephen pointed out, a prophet, or what did I say, not born in due time, I think that's how it goes. And he says in 2 Peter 3:15, he says, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And he's not in a hurry, kind of a thing. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And I have no doubt that that's the proof right there of the fact that he's the one that wrote Hebrews. As also in all his epistles, that's different than Hebrews, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So these people during the tribulation take Paul's stuff and they twist it, and it, you know, there's no salvation there. But in this time of Acts, Paul and Peter, they're there. We're gonna go back to Acts 13 here, and there's just a lot of Paul and a lot of Jews in here, a lot of Jewishness, and yet Peter's still in here, as is James of all people. This is just in Acts 15, but we're gonna go back and let's set this up, and I think what we're gonna see here, if we take our time, this might even be that not that long of a sermon tonight. We're just gonna do chapter 15. But I'm seeing, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm trying to make something out of nothing here, but I don't think so. I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't believe this is true. There is no instant line drawn between Peter and line and then Paul. It's just not a place that we can go to say, okay, when did the gospel actually change? If it did, which it did, because Peter was teaching that they needed to believe that he was the Son of God. And by the time we read Ephesians, for example, and Colossians and Philippians and these other books, that's not the case, necessarily. Remember, well, we'll get to it in a minute here. So let's kind of bring this thing up to date a little bit. We're just going to go back to chapter 13, because we skipped a couple of these chapters, because they just were all Paul. And as much as they fit into the thing somewhere, I don't want to get caught up in the Paul stuff. We're trying to look at Peter here. How does he fit into this thing? And why is it that everybody's trying to do what Peter taught and ignore Paul? So Acts 13, look at verse 16. Here's what's going on here. Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." So here's one of Paul's sermons to these guys. And let's go to verse 38. You know, there's a whole bunch of history in there again. You know, between Peter and Stephen and Paul, you can get a tremendous amount of Jewish history to see what you know and what you don't know. But anyway, we're looking at verse 38. be it known unto you therefore, after everything he has said, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now before is all repentance. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So he's telling this, these people, that the Moses thing is over with. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. That's that severity thing. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. See, he knows they're not going to believe him. He's telling them, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you here. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, so that's what Paul was. He was in the synagogue. He's in the synagogue a lot. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So they knew that Paul had a different message here. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, again, the Jews are part of this whole scene. They saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That's why he went to Jerusalem. That's why he's going to the Jews as much as he is. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay, so here's one of the places he turns. But he can't turn against the whole Jewish nation because nobody else is there. How would they know? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, so this is what he's telling everybody. And when the Gentiles heard this, well, yeah, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Here's the problem. He's got Jews stirred up to devout and honorable women. That's always been a problem for him. And the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against who? Paul and Barnabas. And expelled them out of their coast. They shook off their dust to feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. See, now that's not how it goes today either. Down in verse 2 of chapter 14, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And there's just Jews in this whole thing. And they're making a mess of the things for Paul. So let's go to 15. Now let's just read slowly. There's a few comments, I guess. Chapter 15, and I want you to be aware, I just want you to keep in mind that we're in the transition. Paul still has Jews in the crowd, and Paul still has Gentiles in the crowd. And he's slowly turning away from the Jews because they're not interested. And this is also about the time Galatians is being written. And if you're familiar with Galatians, Galatians is about those that want to handle the law. So that explains why he's talking what he's talking about here. But this is still Great Commission, even though Paul's involved. Paul is going to take that transition into his stuff only. So he's still dealing with what was being done in the Great Commission with signs and wonders. Paul's full of miracles and wonders. He's doing things himself. Even the Gentiles see him. But he's in the synagogue. And also keep in mind that during this must be the general time when Jesus himself is talking to Paul. Remember, he says that in Galatians, he says that in Corinthians, he says that in Ephesians. And yet, didn't Paul write Hebrews? Yes, he did. I believe Peter tells us that Paul wrote to the Jews. To the Jews. So when would this have taken place? When would he have been writing Hebrews? Well, you know, I don't know what the scholars say, but according to what it looks like here, this is about when Paul would be writing his stuff to the Jews. Because he's still actively involved with them. But he's also he's going to be writing his stuff to the Gentiles as he gets away from the Jews. More and more of this stuff is to the Gentiles, and this is where, somewhere in here, Jesus must be telling Paul about the mystery of the whole deal, this whole mystery thing that he's going to show everybody, because he's not talking about it now. And we also got to keep in mind that Paul is also teaching things, and things are happening in his ministry and in life that will not take place once the King James Bible is written. That which is perfect has come. Then all this other stuff that we see happening, the tongues, you know, the preaching from the Lord giving them the knowledge and all this stuff, it quits. So this is an interesting time. So there really is not a dividing line, but it takes place about 15 and 16, and I think you'll see it coming around. I think you'll see it, and I think you'll also see when we read chapter 15. That Peter's still involved, and if you're not careful how you read this thing, you're going to think that Peter is still there for us Gentiles today. But we'll see that he's not. We know he's not, because he's there for the Gentiles during the Great Commission. But that eventually stops, and we go on with Paul to the Gentiles, not Peter. Even though Peter says what he says here in chapter 15. You'll get it. You'll see as we get into this thing, if you're still there, and see Peter. Oh, we got Peter Massachusetts. Good to see you there tonight, Peter. Keep talking about the word Peter here. Here we go, chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, okay, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now here's a phrase that I've never seen him use before. These Jewish guys never talk about being saved. You know, it's just like today. It wasn't, well, I see, I would have been 13 years, 2 years here, 15, 6 years in New York, South Dakota, 12, 20-something, 30 years ago, Catholics said they were Catholics. They never said they were Christians. Now they're Christians. They call themselves Christians. It was that same amount of time, 30, 40 years ago, that people, if they ever used born again, it was the new Christian crowd, the evangelicals. Now, everybody uses born again. Born again means you joined their church. Born again means you revitalized your own spirit. I mean, just tons of uses for that thing. So it looks like these are just my thoughts here. These guys who taught circumcision are now using the phrase saved. Well, there it is. You cannot be saved. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, and again, that's King James Bible right there, had no small dissension. In other words, it was big. So these two guys, they had dissension and disputed. These guys who were saying you got to be circumcised to be saved. There's the phrasing. They determined that, so after this thing gets going, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. You know, that happens today. Oh, that's fantastic stuff you've shown us in that Bible. I'd better go up and see my pastor, see what he says. You'll never see him again. They're going to go up to the leaders of the past doctrine, and they're going to find a way to talk him out of it. So here they go. Okay, you guys, we're having fights over this thing. You go up and you talk to the apostles and the elders about this stuff. And being brought on their way by the church of Jerusalem, still remember, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Well, that's exciting. You would think that what Paul has to say, and remember now what Paul is putting together in Galatians there, when he goes to Galatia. But anyway, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. Okay, so they accepted these guys. You got to picture this thing. They declared all things that had God had done with them. Okay, now again, there's Great Commission proof again. And this is even Paul. Not done to them, but done with them. So those guys, when they went to Phoenicia and Samaria, they were doing some spectacular things. But it does say, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now, verse 5. But, naturally, you know, there's great stuff going on, but we get that but in there. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Can I remember that? That's the issue here. They're being told to keep the law of Moses. We're dealing with people today that believe that they need to keep the law of the Gospels, the teachings of the Gospel, even though they say there's liberty, blah, 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 blah. They're looking at books that still the law still existed. So they don't even know they're putting forth the law as such. They think God's grace. Well, sure. But they have no clue about what Christ did with the law. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together to consider of this matter. Okay. Time to get together for the committee, you know. And when there had been much disputing, there it comes up again. There's just disputing about this stuff. Great commission. Signs and wonders. They see what's taking place, but it goes against what they've been taught. And there's no doubt. This is about the risen Savior. There's no doubt. But not in a manner what Paul teaches. So here we go. There's disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them. Here we go. Here's Peter's sermon here. Men and brethren. And I think this sermon right here throws people for a loop. Ye know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us. Okay, who's us? That's the apostles. And that's very important to realize that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Huge sentence, or huge verse right there. Because Peter is saying, listen, God chose me to go to the Gentiles. Okay, but key word, God made choice among us. That's the present, that was the apostles at that time. And the word of the gospel, we know what that is. That's the way of God. Remember, Jesus taught the way of God. Peter's doing the same thing, teaching what Jesus taught to teach. What's Paul's? Paul's is the way of God more perfectly. So this sentence 7 should not be confusing. It just isn't written to us. Even though it's in Acts 15. There's still all this Jewish-Gentile merging going on here. In the meantime, Paul is pulling away, you know, group by group. And here's Peter telling people, listen, God chose me out of the apostles, not out of history for the Gentiles like Paul. Chose Peter to go to the Gentiles during the Great Commission. And God, which makes sense, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Now, that's not how we have the Holy Ghost. We don't have it like they did. Came down like as of fire. We don't have it on us. Right? And put no difference between us and them, which is true. Not like Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. Boy, he sure explains why we are the same. But Peter doesn't talk about that. And he says, purifying their hearts by faith. Right. Whose faith? Their faith. Peter never talks about the faith of Jesus Christ. Not here. He just doesn't. Okay? So put no difference between us and them, purifying their thoughts by faith. Now he's talking about the Gentiles. Difference. There's a difference here now. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So why put this big yoke on them? We couldn't do it. So why should the Gentiles have it put on them? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. There we go, Peter, that's good. Even as they, Gentiles. So during this great commission, you know, these people are having remission. And he talks about it as if it's a salvation, which he says they're saved, and that's fine. But it's based on their faith. That's why in Peter and in James and in Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, they can lose their salvation because it's based on their faith. So during this time, remember, this is a time where Jesus still could have been accepted, but they killed Stephen. I'm going to go with Paul. And these guys, Peter and Paul and Barnabas, are trying to get this thing straightened out. Peter's talking like he was the one called to the Gentiles, and he was, of the apostles during the Great Commission. And Paul hasn't been set 100% to Gentiles yet, but he's getting there. So he's still got the Jewish talk in his teachings, which would explain why he wrote and when he wrote Hebrews. He's still talking to the Jews. This is still their stuff. Okay, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence, which they haven't been doing before there's been disputing, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. Write this number down, Mark, wherever it's at. I've got to take that burp out of there. Now look at this. Gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Yes. This is still Jewish-flavored stuff. And we see that in Corinthians. There's things he does in Corinthians because there's Jews still around. He hasn't parted with them totally yet. So these Gentiles are seeing the things just as much as the Jews are. You know, we go back and read about Paul in these previous chapters and the coming chapters. He heals them. They touch him and they heal him and get healed. So there's some spectacular stuff happening here now. But they're still, both groups are here. And after they held their peace, here we go, James pops in. James, you know, go work in the garden. James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Simon, hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, that takes us back to Abram. Because the Gentiles, that was the heathen, and God takes Abraham, okay, we're going to pull up some people out of this Gentile crowd. We're going to make a people that are my people. That's what he's talking about here. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build up the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. This is Old Testament stuff, which includes Gospels, which includes Great Commission. This is not the new stuff with the new Jesus. That the residue of men, the men left over here, might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called with the Lord who doeth all these things. Now remember, the whole plan was just like he says, and then the Jews were going to go out to the Gentiles and they're going to take this new Savior and the Messiah and they're going to make all this stuff work and put together. This is not talking about times today. This is talking about Old Testament time. This was the design in the first place. You know, pull those people out of the Gentiles. They become Jews. They're eventually going to go out to the Gentiles and win the world to this new Messiah. This is all Great Commission, Old Testament gospel. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Way back. Wherefore, I like his wherefores. He says something, now listen to this now. He says, wherefore, my sentence is, here's what James thinks, that we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. So let's give them the grace of God, but let's put a few rules on them still. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. You know, we still have the Ten Commandments in our government houses and our government properties, so then let's just stick with the Ten. No, we only have to do the Nine. Well, come on, let's just stay with the Ten Commandments. Let's just stick to the Lord's Prayer. Let's keep doing the stuff that we've always been preached. You know, you get a hold of this Paul stuff. They want you to come back to their churches. They want you to do the stuff they've been doing. Yeah, I understand you got grace, and you don't have to do this, and you got freedom and liberty. But, you know, come on back, and let's all just kind of be, but we won't be so hard on you. But you still ought to do some of these things. I thought all things are lawful. Yeah, but, you know, You know, I'm not talking about the strings. Yeah, we know that there's strings attached. But they're saying, no, you still can't divorce. You still can't this. You still can't do that, or God will dump you. God will not have fellowship with you. Some say lose your salvation, the whole thing. A bunch of James people out there. 22. Then pleased it, the apostles and elders, with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Okay, so we're going to send Paul and Barnabas out there, but let's send some of the brethren with them. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren, there's your, you know, the pastors of the community, you know, send greeting. Here comes my brother that's going to tell you about this Paul stuff. You know, kind of humor him, but, you know, kind of go along. We'll watch him closely. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles, and Gentiles involved here in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard, that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no commandment. We didn't tell them to say that stuff. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that verse right there. That's a tough verse these days. Even look at our lives. You know, what do we hazard in our life to stay with the risen Savior? But he's still not writing that to us. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Okay, we'll see here. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Oh, see, they still cling. There's still a few necessary things they have to still do. That ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, for which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Okay, you stop doing those things right there, you'll be blessed. And I'm not saying that, you know, abstain from meat offered to idols and drink blood, you know, that whole blood thing, and from things strangled. Fornication. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. They just can't let go, can they? They really just can't let go. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, see, God's still giving these people stuff, supposedly here, just watch, exhorted the brethren, there's brethren again, with many words, and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. He still wanted to stay there. Paul and also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So there's all this stuff is going on now during this time. Jews involved, the apostles are there, Peter's talking, James is talking, Paul, Judas and Silas are talking. Great commission time still. They're all out there trying to reach the Gentiles. And this is Paul guy. He's got some other stuff in there. 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now here's what made me start thinking about this whole thing. Then we're almost done here, so this is going to be short tonight. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. Now, why not? These guys are all in the same game. They're all in the same gospel. They're all in the same teachings. No, they're not. Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp. This is serious stuff. between them that they departed asunder one from the other. I mean, they parted each other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, just look back at what we read here. Paul and Peter, same gospel as such. You know, remember, the first thing Paul taught was that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. So they're all in the same ball game here with all this, with the Great Commission. They're trying to reach the Gentiles with the Jews. So the Jews are going to be doing all this stuff, and the Gentiles are going to see it. Well, Paul and Peter and James and Silas and all these guys are going to be doing that stuff. But Paul is in the process of moving out of this whole scene. And he gets to the point where he says, listen, no, we're not going together. He thought it not good to take and had contention. And they departed, they split. They departed asunder, one from the other. Barnabas went one way, Paul went the other. Mark went with one, John went with the other. I mean, it's just Silas went with Paul. So now we get into chapter 16, which we can just skim. Well, I'm going to save it. We just skim it. And we still see Paul doing some wonders taking place still. There's still some of that stuff that takes place. He gets a vision. They're still talking about customs. There's a great earthquake, the prison thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's always puzzled people, because that sounds very Briterish. Or Calvinist, you know. How could that be? Well, we'll see here, because now this is Galatians has been written. He's talked to people about the law. And so there's other things taking place. This is like the general, we call it, the big picture, what's going on. And we get into the other books so we can see what specific things Paul is teaching. And we see in Corinthians, he's teaching Jewish happenings, miracles and wonders. And yet, he also tells us that there's something coming that will shut that whole thing down. So did all this kind of stuff keep going until 1611? No, because Paul finally broke away from the Jews, all, you know, 100%. But yet he still wanted them to hear. Well, there was a remnant that could still hear and get this stuff together. And he's always talking about, you know, the goodness of God. Peter doesn't talk about the goodness of God. Peter's always talking about the severity of God. James, he's got the law. Well, of course he's got the law. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the scattered tribes. And that's who these guys are talking with. So these back books, you know, Peter, even Hebrews, Peter, James, all that kind of stuff, all fit in this section of Acts to me. Those are just my thoughts. And soon enough, Paul's going to be pulling away from all of them and going Gentile only, hoping a Jew picks it up, because he still talks about them. But he is the apostle to the Gentiles during the dispensation of grace, and Peter was the apostle to the circumcision during the great commission. And yet he was the one chosen to take those things out to the Gentiles, but not now. Then. That's why I call this Peter's Great Commission. And yet at the very end of it, Paul was part of it. As he segued and transitioned out into the Gentiles only, and that's when somewhere in here Jesus told him, here's what you're going to tell the Gentiles. The Jews blew it. I'm done with them. They stumbled, they fell. Now let's take this stuff to the Gentiles. And that's the marvelous stuff that we read about with Paul in Ephesians, the mystery and circumcision, spiritual circumcision, and the law, how God actually took care of all that stuff that we read with Paul, the spiritual blessings, the kingdom of God only. I don't mean to make it sound complicated, but to me, suddenly, a lot of the stuff in the back of the book and a lot of the stuff in the middle of Acts, even after Paul gets saved, is now in Corinthians. This is all making sense now. That little mush in the middle there. And when you go to Acts to pull out church doctrine for today, this is why people are laying on hands. This is why they're healing, trying to heal. This is why they're doing all the stuff they're doing. This is why they say God gave them the knowledge and God told them to go here and all this kind of stuff, because that's what they did then. None of that happens today. Two reasons. One, Paul went out to the Gentiles, and it was done way back then. And two, after Paul's life was over, there was that which is perfect came, as the King James Bible, buried it all, and went on with the new with all this new way of God more perfectly. And this Bible, this King James Bible, has all the past, present, and future in here. This whole book isn't to us. The whole book is there for us. It's got past, present, and future. You just have to know where to find the present, which is a gift, pun. You have to know where the present is for us personally today, and that's Paul. It's not Peter. It's not even these early chapters of middle chapters of Acts. It's not even the early chapters of Corinthians, actually. There's that mix in there still. Lord's Supper? Nah. That was way back in the Great Commission days. Baptism? Commission days. Remission? Commission, Great Commission days. Healings, miracles, being led by your heart, by your feeling, Great Commission days. And Paul's got a different message to the Gentiles. And if the Jews want it, they can jump in, but they're pretty much blinded by it. God says, they keep killing my people here. We're just going to have to put them on the burner for a while. And like we know in Romans 11:22, when the Gentiles are done with it, he'll cut them off as a nation and go right back to his people. And his people will fight him even then, as will the heathen and the Gentiles of the world, thinking they're following in an Antichrist that comes back. Everybody will think he's the guy. And we know what the Bible says. Okay, done a little early, but just let that soak in and read 15. You'll see some more stuff in there that I didn't talk about. No doubt about that. I'm no whoopee-doo here, but I'm seeing some stuff that kind of makes things even more solidified for me. Who are you going to tell about it? Nobody probably, but there you are. It's still exciting to see this book alive.